Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. This time, Pastor Brock Meyer and Alyssa Meyer interview Alyssa's brother, Jason, his wife, Sarah, and their children as they recount a story of tragedy with the loss of their daughter and sister. They express their continuous grief, but their long-lasting faith in Jesus remains. Take a listen.
Well, am I on up there, Alex? You good there? All right. Well, I know you're all here to hear my message this morning. So we'll just, we'll get to it. Jason and Sarah, Caden and Hope are here with us this morning. And what a journey it has been the last year and a half in order to make it here this morning. And so we're going to have them come on up to the stage. And Jason, if you want to get Hope going here. But if you know the storyline, you know what it takes to even come up here this morning. And can we give them just a little woo-woo? Hope, it looks like you popped a little wheelie coming up there. Is that right? So, yeah, if we can do that. Jason, this is you. Andrew, we've got one more. Is that right? Alyssa, this is you. So we're going to do this interview style, and they're going to kind of share the story and what they've been through and just kind of have a good old family discussion this morning and make it way more conversational and relational this morning. Let me get this out of the way, too. All right. All mics good? Good?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
All right, there we are. So let's just do a quick intro of the family. If you guys want to share your names and go on down the line here.
Yeah, Jason Johns.
Sarah Johns.
Hope John.
Caden Johns.
Awesome. And just to kind of get a little bit of perspective, maybe how long have y'all been married, ages of the kiddos, maybe just a little bit of the family history.
Yeah, so family history. Sarah and I celebrated 13 years this January. Wonderful years. And it has been an amazing journey. I got blessed with an amazing woman. And Hope turned 7 in February, which was a big deal because she is now officially a big kid. So that was a big birthday. And then Caden turned 12 in November. And is at the beginning of his journey into manhood.
And Elise is 9 now.
Yeah.
She's 9.
Hey, Hope and Caden, what are a couple of your favorite activities to do? What do you guys enjoy?
I like to sing.
I like to read.
Singing and reading. All right.
Hope's and my favorite song to sing together is The Little Mermaid. Right.
Yes. Hope, are you able to do a little Ariel this morning?
Should we do it just a little bit?
Just a little?
Okay.
Ready? Okay. Let's see. Look at this stuff. Isn't it neat?
Wouldn't you think my collection is so neat? Wouldn't you think I'm a girl? The girl who has everything.
Look at this stuff.
Treasures untold.
Of that song.
I'm gonna give it to
answer too. I got 20.
In that moment, it was pretty rough, and from that we've just been in a season of recovery, getting stronger. I don't know how detailed.
Nope.
Good. thank you.
Yes.
We're like your guys' hands, man. They hit us deep today. You know, yes. We're like, is it bad that we're already crying? Like. So in the accident. At the moment of the accident, Elise was unresponsive and Hope was unconscious in the back. And that started a 5-day just prayer, intercession, going to war for our daughter's life and for Hope's health. And fortunately, Kate and I walked out with minor injuries. Well, he broke his wrist and I was banged up a bit, but nothing I couldn't walk away from. And so, I think the biggest thing to go back that before this accident, 3 years before that, we started really diving into the character of God, of who is, you know, we grow up in the church and sometimes we think he's that principal, you know, and if you do the wrong thing or you do the bad thing, you're going to get in trouble. And so we, 3 years leading up to this, started diving into the goodness of God, the true character of God, that he is love, he is grace, he is compassion, and that radically changed the way we view him and relate to him. And so we just hung on to that for dear life. We hung on to that God is good. God did not cause this accident. And we had the chaplain at the hospital come to us once, and he was talking and doing his best. I mean, I can imagine how uncomfortable and awkward that is to try to console parents in the middle of this. And he says, you know, we don't know why God does these things, and we don't know why he takes people to himself. And I was like, No. I was like, God didn't do this. You know, this was a person that made a mistake, and we've suffered for that. And so we've held on to the goodness of God through this, and chose to really honor him. You know, we said, man, Jesus is the only way that we're going to get through this, and he is the only way that we are going to make it. And so we made a conscious decision to say, God, we're going to honor you through this, we're going to worship you through this, and we're going to praise you through this. And then the day they declared Elise dead was a very trying day for our family. Because it's what do you do? You know, when you do all the right things, you know, we're loving people, we're serving the Lord, we brought in people that have seen the dead raised and amazing miracles, and I mean, it was 5 days of 24/7. In this room. And so what do you do? And I remember that night going back into a room to just, because I was hurting, and I told Jesus, I said, you know, we'll honor you through this, but I want to see big impact. And I was mad. And I said, what about all the promises over my daughter's life that you told me? The dreams that we had, the things you told me that she was going to do. And he said, through this, her life is going to matter. And we have seen time and time again that even in death, the promises that God gave us for her life have been the catalyst to launch our family into being able to bless and be an example of what we're capable of. And so Yeah, so that was a rough...
So, and then there were some things, some trials. It's not, the trials didn't stop at the accident.
Right.
I mean, you got extremely sick.
Yeah, I had, they still to this day don't know what happened. I mean, it was, I got hospitalized again for a few days, then Hope ended up catching the flu, and at that time, her lungs were not strong enough, so she ended up getting re-hospitalized again, and that was just another thing of just, we're not going to let fear rule our life, because it was easy to then just be like, hold on, wait a second, a common cold can land my daughter back in the hospital for a month? Like, what is going on? And I don't know if you guys have ever seen the movie The Boy in a Bubble. You know, I'm just like, is this how we're going to have to live? Like, isolated and cut off, and because this could happen.
And then the hits just kept coming. Yeah. Then, I mean, there were break-ins at the school, at the church that you pastored. There, your truck got broken into, your truck was stolen. I mean, it just seemed like you couldn't catch a break. How did you do that? I mean, how do you come out of something like this shining like you guys are? I mean, you guys are shining, shining, and you have through this entire thing. And so, you know, I mean, it's just hard when you think we're doing it. We got through that battle. Shaboom, and then another hit. Okay, here's another. I know you guys have used the words where they're battle weary. So what sustains you? What keeps you going?
Those two hymns that we sang this morning sum it up. When we don't understand, the number one thing that we can do is run to the Lord. And when we don't understand, He is the safest place to be. He is the best place to be, because we don't understand, but He does, because His ways are not our ways. And we are in a broken and a fallen world. And hiding under the shadow of the Father's wings and bowing down in worship when we don't understand activates something and brings heaven to earth. And it fills our spirits, because our spirits are stronger than our human bodies. And so when we stay in that place of understanding the goodness of the Father and running to Him time after time, that is the thing that has helped sustain us through, hit after hit. And when Jason was talking about, you know, the 3 years that the Lord is really talking about the identity and the goodness of the Father, it was like there was these stakes in the ground that landed in our hearts. And when you know that you know that you know, nothing can sway you from that. And so you have to know that you know that you know that He is good, and that He can turn all things around, and that the story isn't over, and that there is no better place to be filled up than Jesus and His presence, and knowing all of those things. And we didn't walk it out perfect. We're human, and we have emotions, and you have to be real. But it's what we do with those things that really matter, and that have helped us to ultimately come back to that place. And having a community around us, and every one of you here are part of that tangible hands of Jesus to us. And your prayers and your support and lifting us up when we felt like we couldn't go on. That is so important to remember, not just for us, but for your life as well. And so the body of Christ and the Father, that intimate relationship with the Lord, as well as with each other, is, I believe, the key that has helped us come back to that place and not give up, and knowing that if He's good, that means that the story isn't over.
You are clearly teaching your children this, because yesterday Ronnie and Judah were having a tiff. They were having a little fight, and I wasn't home to see this, Sarah and I walked in to the kitchen, and there is Hope and Ronnie blasting Alexa worship music. Alexa's playing worship music, and they're just worshiping together. And we said, what are you guys doing? And Hope said, well, Ronnie and Judah were having a fight, and I know when things get hard for me that we just worship. And I'm like, most adults don't do that or think to turn to that, you know? I'm like, whoa, so how are you teaching your kids how to do that? How do you do that? How can I teach my kids to do that?
I think it's, honestly, it's living from a place of vulnerability. You know, our kids are far more perspective, what's the word? Perceptive.
Yes.
They're far more perceptive than we give them credit for. And they're watching, you know, they see it, and we're real. You know, there's times where we haven't handled it well, and we sit down and we say, hey, even though our emotions sometimes get the best of us, we're gonna turn back to Jesus now, and we're gonna worship, because here's the truth, here's what's really going on, here's what we're doing. And so, you know, unfortunately through this, it's caused them to grow up a little bit, a lot of it. And so we just modeled that for them. You know, we're very vulnerable and we're very real with them. And when they hear the struggles, or they hear maybe Sarah and I, our trauma is triggering each other, and sometimes we maybe communicate at higher volumes. And so we come back and we sit down and we talk to them, you know, and we say, hey, look, this is what was really going on, but here's the truth. Here's the truth.
And before the accident, I'm not sure if all of you are aware that we actually do live in the inner city of Kansas City, and we live in our church house, which is right next door to our church. And during this season, time and time again, Hope and Elise and I would just go to the church and just blessed worship and dance. And before the Lord, you know, Caden and Jason are a little bit more encounter the Lord outdoors in nature. And knowing how you access the throne room of the Lord is really important. And knowing that everyone is different. And for me, worship is my heartbeat, the heartbeat of my spirit. And so there was just a season of, I mean, I couldn't get enough of the Lord. I couldn't get enough. It was like any spare moment, I wanted to go over there, and then Hope and Elise would want to come with me. And, you know, the boys were off, you know, riding their dirt bikes or whatever they were doing, encountering the Lord.
We were worshiping too.
Yeah, that is worship. That is worship, actually.
With motorized vehicles and guns.
Yeah.
Jesus
yeah.
loves it.
Yeah. And so there was this filling of my oil. I like to kind of picture this oil in my cup that started to happen. And it happened in Elise and in Hope, to where there was this natural crossover when the trauma and this moment that nobody expects to happen happens. There was this instantaneous, this is what you do in this moment. And so that was this pathway that started to happen beforehand. And it just happened over and over and over again, to where it's become a habit. And this is what we do, this is what we do, this is what we do. And so I believe that that was something that really has placed seeds inside of Hope, and it did inside of Elise too, and inside of me, that has really, really helped us and kind of been just a natural crossover of this is what we do when things get hard.
And I think too, the big thing is, don't wait. Start now. What are you feeding yourself spiritually? What are you feeding yourself emotionally? Are you preparing? Like, it reminds me of in the Bible where they talk about the 14 virgins preparing for the bridegroom. And seven of them were ready. Seven of them were prepared. They had the oil. They were full. They were ready. Seven of them didn't. So when the bridegroom came, some were unprepared and some were prepared. And so many times when tragedies of life happen, You're not planning for that. No one's planning like, well, today I'm going to have a, you know, catastrophe in my life. And so you have to put in the work ahead of time. You know, being in a farming community, you guys understand that seed time harvest. And if you're not putting in that work and you're not ready, if your equipment's not ready, if things haven't been prepared, then all of a sudden the harvest is here. And you're like, oh my God, my tractor's broke down. The truck isn't working. And so now you're scrambling. And a lot of times that it sets yourself up for failure, and it sets you up to be like, well, God, where are you? Why aren't you doing anything? And it's, we haven't done the prep work before that. And so that is an important thing of don't wait. Don't wait until tragedy strikes to then be trying to make up for lost time.
That's good. That's good. Caden and Hope, what's your favorite worship song?
My favorite worship song, that's a little hard to think because it's hard.
That's so hard.
Here's My Heart.
Here's My Heart by Lauren Daigle. That was Elise's favorite too. They just were like, can we play it over again? And over, and over, and over again. And they're just like, blast it.
So Cadence is a little different. He's not as much of a singer and performer. Can you know what is one of your favorite stories in the Bible?
I kind of like the David and Goliath one.
That's great. So as you look, maybe there's some people out there that have suffered themselves and any sort of tension points and breaking points through hardship can put stress on marriage. So maybe speak to how does a marriage survive whenever it all hits the fan. And Sarah, if you can say from the jump, whenever you walked up to Jason in the hospital, how you from day one locked in.
All right, so the day of the accident, they took the kids to the children's hospital, and then they took Jason to a regular hospital. So he was separated from them. And one of our very dear, good friends met me at the children's hospital. I went to the kids' hospital first. And so I was there for several hours, and I had been given the diagnosis. I knew how bad it was. And I had a moment before I went and visited Jason. I made sure that the kids were set up, and we had, I mean, just floods of friends and family coming. So I knew that they were okay for a minute, and I stepped away. And I knew how bad it was with Elise. I wasn't giving up, because when they gave me the prognosis, I remember falling to my knees, and because they said, there's nothing we can do. And I fell to my knees, and I said, yes, there is. Yes, there is. We can pray. We can pray. I'm not going to accept this right now. We can do something. We can pray. And I remember from that place of getting up and knowing that this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray. Because with man, things can be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And so, you know, it had been several hours, and I had stepped away for a minute, and I remember thinking, so what happens if Elise doesn't come back and there isn't a miracle? How am I going to survive? How am I going to live? I remember the still small voice came in and said, how will Elise want you to live? Will she want you to die inside? Or will she want you to live your life fully alive? And I remember in that moment I said, this is how my daughter would want me to live my life. To live fully alive. To honor her. So that her life is not for naught. And that the inheritances and the promises of the Lord can be fully recognized, 100-fold. So something went in my heart that day. And from that place, I then knew I was going to go see my husband. And knowing who my husband is, and how much of
a protector and a provider and a fixer that he is. I knew that he mentally probably was not doing well, even though it was not his fault. He literally did everything that he could, and every single doctor looked at him and said, "You did everything you could, this is not your fault. There was nothing else that you could have done." I knew that he still was not doing well. I hadn't asked him, but I just knew, because I know my husband. So I went over to the hospital to visit him. And it was literally like the Lord just came through me, and I looked him in the eyes and I said, "This is not your fault. Don't you let any lie come in and believe that this has anything to do with anything that you did. And I will stand by your side, and I am with you, and we will walk through this together. And that is what we're going to do. You are my husband, and I love you, and it is not your fault." Because I knew that if I, coming from the person that speaks and has a huge influence in his heart and his life, had I not done that, would have left even the crack for the enemy to come in and start whispering lies. And I love him more than anything. And I stand by him because it's not his fault. And that put something in the spirit that the enemy couldn't come in and bring any cracks. Have we struggled? Of course, absolutely. Has it been hard? Yes, but we always come back. And so, again, there is a value in knowing the truth, because the truth sets us free. And so that was one of the things that I know early on that really helped just kind of cover any little cracks that could have started to form lies and bring a wedge between us. And so.
And I think speaking to in the midst of the hard times, because trauma is a very real thing, and it will test your marriage. And heartache is a very hard thing, and it will test. So to speak to some of the harder moments that we had, there was like 3 or 4 weeks where I had gone on a trip and they'd come back. And I was just, I'm just ready to move forward. I don't want to think about it anymore. I don't want to remember, you know, because for me it was, I had to see things that no father should ever see. I had to pull my daughters out of the car. And I had to do CPR on my daughter. And so I had severe PTSD from the accident. And so for me, I was like, let's just move on. Like, I don't want to talk about it anymore. I don't want to think about it anymore. And there was a few weeks where Sarah was just really struggling and grieving, like any mother would do. But I found myself getting irritated with her. And because she's reminding me. And I was getting more and more irritated, and we were having some rough times, and I went to a pastor friend of ours, and I was just like, "I'm just so sick of this. She keeps talking about it, and every time I come home, she's crying, and it's depressing, and I don't want to come home, and it's like, we've got 2 other kids, and they need their mom, and like, why can't she just get over this?" And
easy.
I want to be real, like, because, I mean, I think that there's a place of, We all have those thoughts. And so I went to him, and him being the loving, wise man, he says, he just kind of smiles at me, and he goes, "Jason, you know, grief isn't convenient for anyone. And this didn't just happen to you." And that just hit me so deep. And he's like, "This happened to your wife as well." And it just was like this conviction of, I have just, in a very selfish way, just focused on my own trauma. Because it was so real, and it was so raw, and it was so transparent. And this is where these little things can happen, and division can happen, and cracks can come in, to where my goal is, I want to fix it, and I want to make it better, and I want to move on. And she was lingering in this, and so then what happens is now she's standing in the way of my goal. My goal is to make it better. My goal, and so as weird as this is, in my heart and my mind, she then starts to become my enemy because you're now, I mean, as men, we're conquerors, right? We're overcome. It's like, I'm going to achieve my goal and you're going to get out of my way. And so it is a real thing that, like, we have to work through of being like, no, we are on the same team and we are fighting for each other. And we have to choose at hard times to have grace for each other in the midst of the trauma. And we would remind each other that, you know, if I was being triggered or she was being triggered, it's just like, hey, this isn't you. What's really going on? You know, is this really about that I didn't put the dishes in the dishwasher right? You know, and it's like, no, this is what's really going on. And so that's how we've fought for each other.
Yeah. All right, so we've talked about, like, how it's not good to give up mid-story. Jesus has done some amazingly wonderful good things. Like, we are seeing God get the glory from this. And so how is he getting the glory, and how is Elise still leading people to Jesus today?
Yeah. Well, we, I think the number one thing is where it says in the Bible that by our love for each other, they will know he's good. And so I think that the number one thing is people are watching this amazing kingdom story unfold of thousands of people around the country and even different parts of the world that are watching this community form of love and compassion and trauma. And so I think it's, and we continually push it back to him. You know, people are, oh, you guys are so inspirational and you're so strong. And it's like, hey, we can be the conduit to show you what's possible. But it's all God, and it's all him. And so I think through seeing this community form and the love you guys have shown, it pushes back those lies that God is not good. And it pushes back those lies. And what we have seen through our own struggles is people coming back to the Lord. And that was one of the promises that was over Elise's life, was that through who she was, I mean, this girl embodied positivity and was the ultimate cheerleader and champion for anybody in her worship and her love for Jesus. And so we have seen how we've walked through this and wanting to honor her life and honor her memory, that people are coming back to the Lord because they're like, how can you go through what you did and not be angry at God or bitter at God? And because he didn't do what you wanted him to do. And I think that's a big message we've started to form is, you know, what do you do when he doesn't show up the way you want him? And accepting that mystery.
One little side bit to that is, I don't even know how many messages through social media or just encounters with people that I have heard that have gone through trauma, maybe not specifically like ours, or, you know, they have lost a child, or, you know, they... You can put in X that has just brought so much pain and devastation. And like Jason was saying, of that it opened their eyes to see, oh, this wasn't God. And, oh, I can hold on to the promises of my child's life and know that when we get to heaven, we're gonna see the beginning to the end and why, you know, things happened the way they did and how he was able to turn it all around. And so there were just so many stories that we received, not only coming back to the Lord, but also starting to heal broken places in their heart. Even in the smallest things, whether it's through insecurity, anxiety, fear, suicide, I mean, there is so much darkness in the world right now. And the lie of the enemy wants to come in and say that there is no hope. And that is a complete lie. And so to have a glimpse of seeing, wow, what your story and how you've chosen to do this has helped me start to heal, brings honor to Elise because of how we have come back to that place of choosing to forgive. And that is a big one. Choosing to forgive when you don't want to and you don't feel like it. Choosing to forgive has been a huge key for us in opening up heaven to then be able to come in and heal and forgive our hearts. And so all of those things and all of these little stories and just through community support and, you know, the list goes on and on of how there has just been life. And the miracles of healing in my son's heart. And the miracles and hope that have already manifested. The doctors told us that she would have a trach, a hole in her throat, and having to have a breathing support for the rest of her life. And last summer, Jason hiked her up a 12,000 foot mountain with no respiratory support. That is a miracle.
Respiratory support.
So sometimes these, you know, it's easy to kind of look over the little things, but it's important to stop and allow yourself to see what has the Lord done? What is he doing now? Because she is going to walk again, and it's a process and it's a journey, and we don't know why she isn't right now, but there is a story that is happening and unfolding right now. And if I let myself shut down and get bitter that she hasn't been healed and she's not walking yet, I'm not allowing the Lord to start to speak to me about the journey and the process that he's doing. And so seeing these little miracles along the way and seeing these little moments of healing that are happening in Jason's heart and my family's heart and all around us are evidence of the goodness of the Lord. And bring that honor to Elise.
If y'all can hang just a little bit longer, they've come a long way. This is a rare moment. We typically end at 11:40, but this is just so sweet. We won't go much longer, I promise. Y'all hanging in there, you good? Okay, the cues are padded. There's a really cool story I was wanting you to share about how Elise is still even bringing life and has hit the well. And the prophetic.
So my birthday was in November, and we do a thing on all of our birthdays where we get around and pray for each other and speak words of encouragement and things that we want to see happen in the year. And so we had this amazing time, and I couldn't help at the end of it feel this like very tangible gap in our family for Elise. And because she was the most encouraging, and she always loved to just, you can do it, Daddy, and come on. And so I removed myself to go upstairs and have a good ugly cry. And in the middle of that, crying and just this, like, confusion of God, like, what are you, like, why did this happen to us? And why did Alyssa calls me and tells me that a family from y'all's community paid have a well dug in a village in India. And Alyssa sends me this picture, and it's so funny because I'm like, what? I didn't get it at first because she didn't explain it at first. I get this picture of a bunch of Indian people around a well, and I'm like, I'm like, cool? Like, okay. I don't get it. And then I'm like, I kind of look closer, and I zoom in the picture, and it says, in honor of Elise Grace. And I can't even remember the other stuff that was written right now, but it just, to us, people were saved and salvations at the well, and that the only water they had in this village was a half a mile away, and it wasn't even clean to drink, and they couldn't even use it. And so now this whole village has access to clean water, and it was just this letter of, like, because of the compassion, because of the things we've seen, it's inspiring compassion and other things. And it just blew my mind of that because of our story, now there's clean drinking water for children, and it's going to change the economy of this whole village. And then we had a friend recently that just shared a word of encouragement with us about Elise. And I don't remember the full details of it, but basically the gist is where it was like, there was all this dry land and broken up land. Do you want to say it? She told you. Yeah.
Is that
Ruthie?
Oh, yes. Sorry, it's hard for me to talk about it because it's so deep. And knowing that because of our story, because of my daughter, there's is now changing these other people's lives. And it just feels so personal to my heart. And knowing that the ripple effect, and this is just the beginning, is huge. And so, just a few weeks, because so I, this happened in November when we got the text from Alyssa about the well and what was going on in India. And it was only a few weeks ago because I couldn't talk about it yet because it's too personal. So we hadn't really shared it, and I didn't feel comfortable to go there yet because it just felt so deep to my heart. And so just a few weeks ago, one of the gals in our church, she writes down this word to me, and she just says, "I just saw this picture of you standing on holy ground, and the ground was dry. And then it turned wet, but your whole family was there, and hope was standing." And I'm not quite sure, I don't really know the full picture, but there's something about it with Elise. And Elise has gone before you, and you're standing on holy ground, and this is just the beginning. Did I tell you about this thing that happened? She's like, no. But how many of you know that the Father is so good that he wants to bring these little encouragements along the way so that we can remember and hold on to the promises and come back to him and say, remember this promise and remember this thing that you said that you were going to do. And her life is going to continue on. And there are promises in heaven that are going to be released on the earth when we surrender and come back to the Lord and stay in that place of worship and community. And so that was just an amazing little confirmation and an evidence of fruit that has been starting to happen over the promises of the Lord in our lives. And all of you have an inheritance in this. And I want you to hold on to this promise because you are a huge part of it. And what you have done for our family, and not just our family, in other countries now, is going to continue on. So thank you so much. Thank you guys so much.
Can we do one more question here? Since the accident, since you've been processing, how has just the perspective of life changed? How do you move from grieving to gratitude, kind of staying in a place of you get one shot, and you want to max it out, tomorrow's not guaranteed, kind of the urgency of that moment.
Yeah. So it was actually a gentleman in our church shared, he had lost his wife, I think 6 months before our accident. And he started sharing one morning about his grieving process and his thing, and he said, you know, I realized how selfish I was being, and I didn't even think about celebrating where she's at. And she's in heaven. She's looked into the eyes of Jesus. She's been held by her Father. The pain is gone, you know, and all that stuff. And I'm sitting there, and I just lose it. And I'm like, I didn't even think of that because I'm so fixated on my own pain. And to be honest, I'm not happy she's in heaven. I'm not glad that she's there. And in that moment, this shift happened, though, where I started imagining her in heaven. And I started imagining her, what is she doing right now? where is she going? And it started turning this sense of loss and missing her to, hold on, wait a second. She's made it. Like, she's made it. You know what I mean? She's there. And she's experiencing this thing. And I think also knowing that I believe, I don't know the theology of this, but I think that when we lose loved ones, that the Lord lets them peek in on us and see the things that are happening. And so I think as we started imagining that and realizing that this trauma is going to turn to joy, and a lot of it is just, honestly, just a hard choice in the moment, you know, and we chose. I mean, you guys probably saw them on Facebook. I mean, we were having dance parties in the hospital rooms, and we got in trouble so many times by hospital staff. They're like, you can't be this happy and loud in a hospital. And we're just like, well, you don't get to tell us what to do. And so I think through that, it's now I'm looking at pictures, and it still hits me every once in a while, but it's we always end, we don't stop at the grief. We don't stop at the loss. And now when we talk about her, even when we're dealing with that sense of sadness and loss and grief, we always end with telling good stories about her and things we would do and thinking about her laugh. And then we all try to, we can do the best, the least laugh imitation. Her laugh was amazing. And
Christmas!
See, she's watching. I know. That is hilarious. Oh.
You know.
That freaked me out.
we had little Quakers up there and they just dropped.
Right?
Yeah, I'll just, I'll end with that if I can. So for me, there was just this kind of shift in a brokenness in a good way of, you don't know what's going to happen, so why not? Why do we let the little things come in and grab a hold of us and bring us down? Why do we let irritation and tiredness shut us down from taking that extra minute? Just tell that one more story to your child, to lay with them and sing to them one more time. And there was just something that broke in me of, you know, I've done the best that I can, and but it's hard to not have regrets. And you can't live with that. You have to forgive yourself and know, okay, well, moving forward, how can I now take advantage of every moment and go do the thing and live your dreams? And why not? And don't let fear stop you. Why not? We're not promised tomorrow. So look in your kids' eyes one more time. Go on that adventure. Go and see the world, or, you know, learn this new thing that you're wanting to learn. Why not? Because we're not promised tomorrow. And not to live in fear, because that will hold us down, but to let that liberate us to live in freedom and not let the moment pass. If you want to say something in love, say it. Hug them one more time. So that was the biggest thing, and it is a cry of my heart, because we in our Western society get so busy, and it's been so great being here, because you guys do have more of that community and that culture of taking it a little bit slower, to stop and smell the roses, to go out and do the four-wheelers, which I did for the first time yesterday. Yeah. I had good teachers. You know, and so, but really, like, hold
she
on to that.
She crashed into one tree.
I did crash into a tree. But I made up for it by doing some other little maneuvers. But, you know, just kind of that has just been a huge takeaway in this liberation off of me in my own life.
with mothering, and for those of you who either don't have kids or your kids are grown, to not let it just be with your children, but live those adventures. And Pastor Brock is huge on that, and they have been a great influence in our life as well, and they've been doing that for a long time, living life to the fullest. And so that is one of the biggest things that I would say to take away and just go after life.
So kids, we're wrapping this up here. Kate, is there anything, and you don't have to at all, anything you want to share about anything? Okay. Hope, is there anything, I mean, come on, you're like Superwoman. How do you do this? How are you so strong and happy all the time?
I think the funniest of the other day, it was maybe a month ago.
Who's that? Who's up there?
The other day I was having a rough day, and Hope is just this never-ending bottle of joy and positivity and optimism. And, you know, she challenges me. I mean, anytime I'm like, I have a pity party, I look at her and I'm just like, oh, I'm such a wuss. So I asked her, I said, Hope, how do you stay happy all the time and stay joyful all the time? And what'd you say?
I don't know.
She goes, a lady never reveals her secrets. And so I think just as we wrap up, man, I just want to thank all of you. You know, no matter what you've done or given, you know, just even as you've supported them, I want to tell you guys how many emails I got of when she was coming back from Kansas City and how you all met her. And there was a line of you out in the street and all this stuff. And I'm telling you, I have gotten so many emails that have said, who are these people? Where is this? And so just support comes in many ways. You know, you guys have financially helped us so much. You guys have emotionally, spiritually prayed for us and fought for us, sent us words of encouragement, and just sent us thank yous. And so we are forever grateful for you, because honestly, God is great and he's good and he helps us a lot, but we are meant for community. We are meant for relationships. And you guys have become such a part of our family. And a big reason why is because of the support we've received from you. Those moments of, well, how are you making it through us? And it's like, well, look in the mirror. You are what's helping us make it through us. And I think that has been, when you talk about how do we make those hard choices, and it's because of now we have a following and an online presence. It's exciting, and it reminds me of the story of Peter in the Bible, where he had just gotten beat up and thrown in jail. And he's like worshiping and laughing and full of joy. And it's like, at that moment, you think you'd be crying. And he's like, oh, you don't realize what you've done. He goes, because of our suffering, now the body of Christ is getting stirred up. And now people are realizing the goodness of God. And so it's like, I've gone back to that story time and time again. And it's, even though we might be suffering and we might have gone through this, what it is doing to build up the body of Christ and showing the goodness of God is huge. And I think that we are completing one of the biggest commandments that he says, love the Lord your God with your whole heart and love each other as you love yourself. And the love that you guys have shown us and poured out on us is making Jesus look really good. And so thank you guys from the bottom of our hearts. Yes. Thank you.
That's good. That's good. Wow, awesome, huh? This is amazing to hear. For you guys, our fair amount of friends swag shirts here. Yeah,
I loved it too when people kept asking us, they're like, where are you going? We're like, we're going to our friend's church. And they're like, yeah, but what church are you going to? Our friend's church. Yeah, man, but what's it called?
That's great. Our fair amount of friends coffee mug as well here. But are you guys able to just join me up here? We're going to pray over Jason and Sarah and Caden. You guys want to step up here? And Hobie, what's up, girl? You are so cute, huh? And I want to maybe step in here behind you, if I can. Can we slide you forward just a touch? Are you locked? How about this girl, huh? This girl is a rock star. So her and Ronnie have been sleeping in Ronnie's bed this weekend, and they are just little besties having a good time. So anyway, but let's pray for them, can we? And Katie, you want to jump in here? And we're just going to pray that God's going to continue to bless them, and that hope's going to continue to be healed. All right? You waving? You say hi to everybody? Oh, you're going to pet the shirt. That's a good idea. All right, well, let's pray, church family. Jesus, we thank you so much for just the perspective that Jason and Sarah are operating with. Thank you for the grace that you've put upon their lives. Thank you for the healing that's going on in Caden and in Hope. And Jesus, we just know that this is nothing short of a miracle, and that you are ferociously faithful in our lives. Lord, we just pray that you would continue to strengthen Jason as he leads this family. God, we just pray that you would put just courage in his spine, that he would continue to lead well, Lord, and that he would continue to lead with joy. Father, I pray that you would continue to lead Sarah in your presence, and that her power comes from presence. And Lord, that you would just woo her and win her over as you just take care of her heart. Lord, we thank you for Cade and the young man that he's becoming. Lord, we just pray that you would continue to fill him with courage down deep in his soul, that he would become the man that you have called him to be. For everything that you've set out for him, God, that he would walk it out. Lord, we just lift up Hope. And Father, we just speak healing over her body. And we just pray total restoration. Father, we just pray that you would come in and flood her body with supernatural healing. We speak to you, Hope Johns, to be healed and to be whole, that you will walk again, you will run, that you will laugh and play and dance and sing, that you will continue to be a joy, but that your body will be restored stronger than it ever has been by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. We pray this over you. We thank you for this, Lord. We honor you in all things, in the good times and in the hardship. You are good, and we thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, church family, thank you for joining us this morning. The Johns family is going to hang here for a little bit. If y'all would like to say hey, you can give hugs and congratulations, and we can love on each other, and you can meet Hope and Caden. Also on the way out, we've got a basket there. If you did want to give something to them, you can. Couple exits. There's one right here, and feel free to also exit this way through the sanctuary. There's a back door straight to the parking lot. All right. Thank you guys so much. We love you.
So we're so glad you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.